The World of RPGs, Bonus Episode 7, TTRP Grimoire. Welcome to The World of RPGs, a podcast in which we travel around the globe and learn about the local role-playing game scenes. I'm your host, Mobots, and in this bonus episode, we talk about an upcoming multicultural game. So sometimes I pop in bonus episodes, either to pass longer breaks between episodes or when something interesting happened. Also in the past, when creators from a country had a book and they talked about it for a long time, let's say half an hour or longer, it would be too long for a regular episode. And so I would detach that game from it. And in this case, it's also similar to it because I recently saw a crowdfunding campaign on BackerKit. Well, I first saw it on social media and that led me to BackerKit. And that project sounded like it would fit right in. So I contacted the organizer and editor and talked with them. To not make it too abrupt, how about my own gaming news? Well, I didn't get any gaming done in May. This is 2026. But I finally finished reading all the Invisible Sun books by Monte Cook Games. And Invisible Sun is a really weird TTRPG, and I have no idea how to run it. And it's not as if I could haul all the material you need to the local game cafe. So not sure when I'm ever going to play it. But speaking of cafes, I also recently got contacted about a local board game cafe here in Istanbul. And it turned out I already knew the place because it's actually in the same district where I live, with districts being quite huge here, like individual cities in other countries. And there's another local gaming event coming up, but that is for another bonus episode since it hasn't happened yet. And now let's get on to the interview.
My name's Michael Deanda. You can call me Mike. I'm a senior professional lecturer at DePaul University, where I teach in the game design program and chair the human-centered design PhD program. My introduction to role-playing games was through Dungeons & Dragons, when my partner first introduced me to painting minis, and that was how I began kind of thinking about the larger world that this character was inhabiting as I was painting them and what the significance of the way that I was approaching painting this character said about like the larger ways they move through the world that they inhabited. That was my intro to role-playing.
And which games have you played since then?
So since then, I've played a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. Some of my favorite titles, let's see, currently I really enjoy Bluebeard's Bride, Alice is Missing. I'm really drawn to The Deep Forest and other kinds of horror tabletop role-playing games. And then a sample of others include Blades in the Dark, Avatar The Last Airbender TTRPG, and then a couple one-pagers made by various designers on itch.io.
So you mentioned you're in academia and in game design. What kind of games does that include?
Yeah, so our program covers both analog and digital games. While the program largely focuses on the design of digital games, our specific program has a lot of interest in board games and other kinds of analog games. I'm interested in TTRPGs, for example. We have a couple other faculty members that are interested in games for social impact, so they'll make board games and XR games that explore different social and cultural issues.
And you've also worked on a couple of game projects, so maybe you can talk a bit about them. Let's maybe start with the ones that are already published.
Yes, I guess the first big one that I would mention would be Goldenmart, that my friend Carly Kusarik and I designed together for a game jam, and then decided to build out into a project where we recruited 4 different writers to write campaigns for the system that we built together. We were very inspired by convenience stores as hubs for neighborhood identities. And we wanted to, over the pandemic, envision how convenience stores are really operating as like central focal points for neighborhoods, especially, and as like specific sites that people were frequenting. And we wanted to like give players a way to process the experience of living in a global pandemic through magical realism and play. And so we thought about how to use metaphor in the game where a player is working an overnight shift during a magical apocalypse moving forward. And so that was the inspiration for Goldenmart. The second game that I would mention is Alebrije's Tiny Generator. I designed this game for my dad. He had a stroke in 2022. And then later that year, I was visiting him over Thanksgiving. And I saw how storytelling was activating his speech in ways that he had trouble accessing before. And one of the things is that he has apraxia, and so he'll jump syllables and word sounds. And storytelling seemed to get him in a flow that allowed him to speak a lot more clearly. So I was thinking about how I could use a tabletop role-playing game that was light enough in its rules, but structured enough in the ways that it invited players to tell stories, and drawing, which is something that he really enjoys doing, to work together to help activate his speech. And playing with him was a real joy. So in this game, you're telling the story of an alebrije, which is a Mexican heritage spirit guide. And you're telling the story about this alebrije and how it helps guide people in their journeys and into the afterlife. And as you're telling the stories, you're creating the designs and drawing these out. And so what I was thinking through here was how we both tell stories and then what the patterns that those stories create for us. Since then, the El Paso Aphasia Connection, which is local group in El Paso, Texas, where my parents currently live, they've done a very amazing job supporting my dad in his recovery journey. They've since played it, and it's been showcased in the Myron Museum in Denver, Colorado. So that's been a really lovely project to see how it's flourished. And then my most recent publication was called And the Crops Withered, which was inspired by the Greek myth of Persephone's abduction. And in this, I was exploring the different tellings of the myth and how people have interpreted it. And what I was really trying to consider through the practice of designing this game was how games become vehicles for mythologizing. So how people can use games and storytelling as ways of translating myths and seeing how they speak to them in their own contexts. It's a single-player tabletop role-playing game where the character narrates the events of Demeter trying to find her daughter in this world ravaged by her own divine fury. And so the player draws tarot cards and then uses the suit of the tarot card to create a story based on prompts that are presented to them. And as the player builds out Demeter's journey to find her daughter, the myth also grows. TTRP Grimoire, the most recent project that I'm working on, currently on BackerKit. This is a collection of 10 tabletop role-playing games, all inspired by myths that designers selected from various cultural heritages. The collection comes out of in-depth discussions that we had about the ethos between myth and games, thinking about how both myth and games operate as structuring systems and meaning-making systems. And so together we're exploring how games can become vehicles for people to really reflect on myth, engage in how they were conventionally told, and then interpret them to think about how they speak to modern contexts.
Okay, so before we go into the content of the TTRPG Grimoire, which I try to pronounce in a French way, I guess. Just for context, it's currently crowdfunded. So currently means it ends on June 27th, 2026. So if somebody listens to this in 2027, it might already be out. But yeah, I'm trying to publish this before that date. And this is also the reason why I contacted you to talk about the game. So let's get right into it. The cultural heritage, can you give an overview of which cultures are covered and how this is approached in the game?
Yeah, so we have 10 different campaigns. Each designer selected a role-playing system that they feel enlivened the myth that they were engaging with. So the cultures that we have include the Taino culture, the indigenous peoples to the Caribbean, Nahua, the indigenous peoples to Mexico. We have Slavic folklore at play, a couple Norse mythology inspired campaigns. Somebody's designing from the Hindu myth of Alia's story. The cowherd and the weaver girl comes from China. There's a game from Jewish mysticism as well.
And so the authors would be from these cultures, or how's the context there?
It's a mix. We have some designers working from UX contexts in a diasporic sense. And we have some designers that are currently in the United States, but are native to the countries that the cultural heritage is coming from.
Between the diasporic and the non-diasporic people, do you see any differences in their approaches to their folklores?
Yeah, there's been a couple very interesting things that have come to light along the journey. A few of the people from the diasporic sense were thinking about how the myth served as a vehicle to reconnect them to their culture, the culture of their native lands, indigenous to their native lands too. I'll say that this is a way that I am exploring more of the Nahua tradition native to Mexico and trying to reconnect to the indigenous lands of Mexico, really through the stories that were told and continue to be passed down. The designer working with the Taino myth, Yaya and Yael, is also coming from a diasporic sense. He's Puerto Rican and also very interested in uncovering a lot of the Taino culture and reconnecting with it. The designer working with Slavic folklore, they're using this as a way of reconnecting with that tradition and doing this project that's quite beautiful in the way that they're using weaving as a metaphor both in the game and as a reflection of their larger method in actually weaving together the history of this figure, in which they're trying to uncover through different folk traditions how this deity has been interpreted in folklore and through different mythological figures since the time that these tales were originally told. So to contrast that, the designers that are working from their own cultural heritages that grew up around these stories, like in the lands in which these stories were told, this has been a very interesting kind of comparison where there's been a lot of really reflecting on the content of the myth, the way that it's been presented. And one of the things that came up in discussion or continues to be was the purpose of gender roles in myth. I remember this was particularly a point of focus for Z, the designer of To the Stars and Back, which is inspired by the Chinese tale of the cowherd and the weaver girl, where she was really talking through the purpose of gender in the myth and trying to find a way to connect with the content of the story that didn't rely on traditional gender roles. And so that was a point where she would bring discussions that she was having with her family members on the purpose of the myth and what they really enjoyed about it to discussion and inviting us to unpack and reflect upon and play with through these discussions that inspired the final game. And then kind of being in conversation with her family in China about how they engage with the myth and coming to a process of this assemblage of different ways of approaching the myth at the end of it and presenting it through the final game that she designed.
Do these games contain specific advice for people from outside the culture, how to integrate that or how to play it?
Yeah, so one of the things that we were thinking about with this collection was how we use games to activate myth and what myth reflects about culture. And so accompanied by each game is both a retelling of the myth from the designer's own perspective and a supplementary kind of statement of purpose that sits alongside the game that details the designer's journey of creating this game and some of the significance about how they're translating the myth into the game. So here they're providing players some ways to think about what the game brings to understanding the myth and some of the cultural significance that they're thinking about in this process of translation, of play, and of design.
And concerning the different games, now, if I understand it right, these are kind of modules to attach to existing games, or are they standalone? So like, would you have to have the other game to use it, or how is that done?
There's a couple different ways that that's approached. So for example, there are some games that are modules, such as Fionnuala Cahill's game that is a module for the horror tabletop role-playing game, 10 Candles. Her game's based on the Norse myth of Ragnarok. And so you see how the apocalypse narrative maps onto the non-survival that's very present in 10 Candles. At the end of it, everything's dark. My game in the collection is a campaign for Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. So these two games require knowledge of the original system to play. There are other games that are entirely contained in the grimoire itself. So Yael and his four brothers, for example, inspired by the Taino myth, that one is a mod of A Quiet Year, but because of the way that it works and the way that it's constructed, the entirety of it is contained in the collection. Similarly, To the Stars and Back doesn't require the external game, which is inspired by the ground itself. Rather, because it's a mod of that game, it is entirely contained in the grimoire. So those two games, for example, don't need an outside material text.
Okay, that's good to hear, because I skimmed the campaign page and I was like, I don't have D&D 5th edition. I don't have 10 candles. And I thought like, oh no, if these are only connected to games I don't have, it would be kind of nice to read, but not gameable for me. But I mean, I do have the quiet year. Okay, that sounds good.
I would say that this is a project that I'm really excited to be stewarding into the world. I think that there's a lot of beautiful opportunities for thinking about how myths are these kind of scrying points for larger cultures in moments and times that have been passed down to us. And we, through our continued engagement with the myth, we keep these stories alive. And the TTRP Grimoire is just another way of doing that act of mythologizing and inviting players into active roles in continuing to pass down these stories.
So thank you for listening to this bonus episode of The World of RPGs. The intro music was Battle of the Dragons by Thomas Muzio, and the logo is by Iberg Karakash. A special thanks goes out to Mike for the interview, and I linked Mike's previous projects and also the mentioned games in the show notes, which you can find either on Let's Cast, which is the hosting site of this podcast, or on YouTube. And of course, this is also streamed on other services, but you'll not find the show notes there, I believe. Anyway, since this is a bonus episode, there'll be no actual play excerpt at the end. I'll just end by saying, check out the campaign for TTRPG Grimoire. It looks really interesting, and I backed it at the physical level because I really like the different folklore elements from different cultures and how they are presented, which I think works best in print.